Acts 18, verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then, verse 9, spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. So Paul continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. You have heard the phrase, no pain, no gain. And that may be true. No pain, no gain. But it is equally true that with gain comes great pain. Oftentimes, when we gain, we find it followed by pain. Ask the Apostle Paul, and he will say, Amen. With great gain oftentimes comes great pain. Now here in chapter 18, Paul is seeing great gain. As he moves into the city of Corinth, he begins ministering the word. And as he begins teaching the word of God, many believe. Great gain, including Crispus. Crispus, he was the ruler of the synagogue there in Corinth. He was the head hog of the trough in the Jewish community. That's a little bit contradictory, I realize, but he was the big kahuna. Maybe that's a better way to phrase it than the head hog of the Jewish community. It's not kosher. And so when he got saved, no doubt Paul was amazed seeing the fruit of the ministry, many believing, including Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue. And no doubt his heart was rejoicing. Paul's heart was celebrating. But then something began to happen. For after we are told here in 1 Corinthians 8, that many believed and were baptized, including Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, Paul evidently experienced some heavy-duty anxieties and fear. And that's when the Lord, we are told, appeared to him in the night in a vision, and he said to Paul, be not afraid. Now, why would Paul be feeling anxiety? Why would he be experiencing this fear internally? Well, as Paul sees this revival happening, people getting saved, including Crispus, no doubt he begins to think, oh, here we go again. Remember what happened in Lystra? Why, as Paul made an impact in that community, the Jewish people that were in Antioch were incensed and upset and ticked off that there was conversions happening. So they came up from Antioch, tracked down Paul, and stirred up the whole city to throw rocks at Paul. And they stoned him, dragging his body out of the city, believing that he was dead. But Paul rose again. Stood up, went on his way in ministry, going into Philippi. Then again, there are things happening, but the result is with that great gain comes great pain, and they begin to beat him with sticks and cast him into a prison. Brutal. So wherever Paul is seeing gain, it's followed by personal pain. And as he's here in Corinth, no doubt he's rejoicing in his heart, but he's concerned in his mind, here we go again. With the conversion of Crispus, they're going to come at me, and sticks and stones, they do break my bones. And the times are going to be tough. Great pain is going to follow this great gain. And you just know that although rejoicing, yet he was also upset and disturbed knowing that pain would follow. And it's then the Lord came to him and said, Paul, fear not. Fear not. And he gives a promise to Paul. Don't be afraid, Paul. No man, verse 10, shall set on thee to hurt thee. I'm giving you a promise, Paul. No man is going to hurt you. And not only am I giving a promise to you, Paul, but more importantly, my presence is with you. Not only a promise is given to you, but my presence is with you. The first part of verse 10 says, I am with thee. I'm with you, Paul. My presence is with you. And here's a promise for you. No man's going to hurt you. I know that today, some of us are in here at this amphitheater feeling somewhat like Paul. Oh, something that you might have been praying for, something that you might have been desiring deeply has come about. Just like Paul was praying for Corinth and desiring to see fruit in Corinth, it came about. But then, it was followed by fear and perhaps something which has been given to you that you've prayed for, or something which is happening around you, which you've been desiring, is now producing within you a fear. Oh man, with this gain, is there going to come pain? What about the repercussions? My little daughter, Mary Elizabeth, she's 5. She's not a real big eater. So it was curious to Tammy and me, as we watched her for several days, every time she had the opportunity, open up the refrigerator door and grab out from the fridge a crisp apple and take a bite, devouring the whole thing eagerly, unlike Mary. But then we noticed a pattern happening, that after she ate the apple, a little while later, she would come up to Tammy or to me, and grabbing one tooth or the other, she was saying, hey, it's wiggling, isn't it, Mommy? Or, it's loose, isn't it, Daddy? And obviously, we began to figure out what was taking place. She's at that age where some of her friends are beginning to get loose teeth, and she wanted to lose a tooth, too. So every break she got, she would go and get an apple, you know, hoping that by biting into a crisp apple, it would loosen a tooth or two up in the process. Well, the plot thickens. A couple of nights ago, I walk into the kitchen late at night, having come home from a meeting, and Tammy was there working, and I stood there talking to her for a few moments, when from through the hallway, Mary's room close to our kitchen, was the voice heard, Mommy, are you going to work in the kitchen all night? And Tammy answered back, no, Mary, just a few more minutes. It was, 10:30 or so. Well, could you work in the kitchen all night? Well, no, Mary, go to sleep now. And I said, Tammy, what's that about? And she said, it's the strangest thing. For the last few nights, Mary has wanted me to stay in the kitchen or be close to her room all night long. I said, why? And she said, well, you know, the apple and the loose teeth and all of that. A couple of days ago, Mary saw somebody in town without his dentures in. And she looked at him and said, Mommy, what happened to him? And Tammy said, well, he's lost his teeth. And Mary had this crestfallen look and she said, oh, that's terrible. And she said, oh, no, I don't want to lose any teeth. And then she at night, you see, is freaked out that the tooth fairy is going to show up in her room with no teeth under her pillows, going to grab them out of her mouth, all of them. And sometimes I think that's a whole lot like us, freaked out and feeling afraid in the night, saying, oh no, I wanted this to happen. I wanted to have a loose tooth, or I prayed that he or she would come into my life, or that that job would open up, or that opportunity would come about, and when it does, we start to freak out and say, oh no, am I going to lose all my teeth? this is going to be terrible. And fear begins to fill us. Oh no, what have I gotten myself into? I didn't think it was going to be like this. Or I know that pain is going to follow. It's a terrible repercussion. And we, like Paul, in the night, find our hearts and minds sometimes filled with fear and anxiety. And we can begin to freak out like Mary Elizabeth, my little daughter. And we can begin to wonder. The Lord came to Paul at this time and said, Paul, I'm going to give a promise to you. Nobody's going to hurt you. Not here in Corinth. And Paul, more importantly than that, my presence is with you. I am with you. And gang, here at Applegate today on this warm Sunday, hear the word of the Lord. He says to you just as surely and certainly as he said to Paul, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you. And he's given promises to you. Over 3,000 promises, minimally, conservatively, are in this book that the Lord has given to you. And now you have a choice, and I have a choice today. Whether to freak out in the night and say, oh no, what's going to happen? And oh, what a bummer. And oh, when God is blessed and God has answered prayer and God has worked. And yet we can begin to think, oh my, I can see that I've gained, but no doubt pain is going to follow. And we begin to complain and we begin to get upset. But you know what Paul did? And this is my prayer for my own life and for you as well. It says, he continued on in the city for a year and a half. The longest that he was in any location besides Ephesus. This was unlike Paul. It was not typical of Paul. He planted himself in the city based upon the promise the Lord gave to him and the presence of the Lord being with him. And he stayed in the city for a year and a half, which in the context of Paul's ministry was a long, long time. He was established because of the promise and because of the presence. You know what a lot of us are seeing today in our own lives or in lives around us? We're seeing a lot of shakiness and instability. People freaking out emotionally. People whom God has blessed and opened doors for and answered prayers graciously, beginning to freak out in the night when it gets a little bit dark. And get upset and begin to murmur and complain and second guess and doubt and feel anxious. And it ought not to be. Paul the Apostle, in the night, heard the promise of the Lord. No man is going to hurt you. And understood the presence of the Lord, and I am with you. And from that time, we see Paul firmly entrenched in the city, not wavering, but teaching daily, steadfastly, consistently. And that can happen for you and to me today. Gang, we don't need to be emotionally up and down and freaking out and getting upset and fearing the repercussions of what the Lord has done for us in answer to our prayer. But like Paul, we can say, hey, he gave a promise to me, he's promised to be with me, and therefore I will continue on steadfastly. Have you been emoting lately? Murmuring a bit recently, complaining, griping, fearing, freaking. Maybe we need to look at another story quickly and then we'll be done, truly. The book of Isaiah, chapter 7. Contrast Paul the Apostle, who understood the Lord was with him and the promise the Lord gave to him. I'm with you, Paul, and no man's going to hurt you, Paul. Contrast that, Paul receiving the promise and perceiving the presence and now planting himself in the city. Contrast that with another man named Ahaz. Now in chapter 7, Ahaz, the king of Judah, he was not a good man. He was an evil king, not a good ruler at all. But Ahaz finds himself in a dilemma. Isaiah chapter 7. At this time, Rezin, the king of Syria, R-E-Z-I-N, and Pekah, P-E-K-A-H, the king of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, they formed an alliance together, a confederation, and they launched an attack against Judah. The two southern tribes, Ahaz was king of Judah. And they set up this confederacy and they were planning this attack against Judah, against Ahaz, you see. Well, the Lord told Isaiah the prophet to go speak to Ahaz, who was freaked out and upset about this battle that was looming. Desert Storm Part 2. He was freaking. And the Lord said to Isaiah, verse 3, go forth now and meet Ahaz, verse 4, and say to him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, Rezin and the son of Ramallah, or Pekah, these two kings, Rezin of Syria and Pekah of Israel, because they have, verse 5, taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let's go up against Judah and vex it. Don't worry about these firebrands. Fear not. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. Their threats on you, their attack that they're planning to wage against you, it will not come to pass. Now, watch this. Think with me. Isaiah then says, that's the word of the Lord. Ahaz, the Lord has determined sovereignly, not because of your goodness or worthiness, Ahaz was a jerk, but the Lord has determined sovereignly, for his reasons, that the attack against you is not going to be successful. So, he says in verse 9, Ahaz, listen, the last phrase, if you will not believe this, surely you shall not be established. Would you mark that? If you don't believe this, Ahaz, surely you are not going to be established. Oh, tune in. Please, don't miss this point. Ahaz, if you don't believe this promise of the Lord, you're not going to be established. What does that mean? Syria and Israel, the 10 northern tribes that are waging war against you, they're still not going to be successful. Whether you believe or not is not the issue. That's not going to happen. But, Ahaz, what will happen is if you don't believe it, you're not going to be established. You're going to be unstable. You're going to be emotional. You're going to be freaking out and you're going to be caving in, even though you don't have to be. Because I have determined that the war that's being planned against you will not happen. But if you don't believe it, then you're going to miss out. You're going to be freaked out for no reason. You're going to be unstable. Unnecessarily so. Now, the promises of God are certain. For example, the Lord's coming back. Do you know that? I want to talk to you about that one Sunday real soon. But I won't right now. Take hope. The promise of the Lord is that He will return. If you don't believe it, guess what? He's still coming back. That's a promise. You might doubt it. You might not believe it. You might deny it, but that's not going to stop Him. He's coming anyway. But, if you're not looking for His coming or believing in His coming, life is going to be a lot less stable for you. You're going to be freaked out and upset and full of fear and whoa. But if you're looking for the Lord's coming, then you're going to be established because you believe what He said. He said, hey, don't let these things trouble you when you see these things come to pass. The things that we're seeing in our world right now. But know this, my coming is nigh even at the very door. Now, if you don't believe it, he's still coming, but you and me, we will not be established. We'll be unnecessarily moaning and complaining and shaking and crying because we're not believing. And that's what's happening here. Isaiah says, Ahaz, if you don't believe this, you're not going to be established. You're going to be unstable, man. But the plan of the Lord will go on anyway. Now, that was the promise that was given to Ahaz. That was the promise given to him. There's a promise given to you today, my precious brother, dear sister. Whatever situation you're in, I want you to know this. Romans 8 declares, all things are working together for good to them that love God. Now, you might not believe that. So you'll be crying and shaking and upset and floundering and mad and upset and murmuring. But guess what? All things are still working together for good. It's just that you're losing your peace and joy and stability and you're freaking out unnecessarily. All things are working out for good. 3 days ago, Benjamin and Tammy were walking along the sidewalk in Medford, and in front of them was this big snail. And Tammy said to Benjamin and Mary and whoever else was there, "Ah, snails, I hate snails." And Benjamin stopped as he can do and says, "Mommy, don't say you hate snails. God makes snails and he's doing the very best he can." Now you say, well, that raises an interesting question theologically, John. Is that the best he can do, a snail? With the slime that it leaves behind and the antenna on his head and the green guck that is in his shell? Is that the... Listen, keep in mind, God did better initially in the Garden of Eden before the fall. I don't think there were snails, at least not in their present form, not then, not there. But sin came in and creation and all of nature has fallen. And so we have things like black widows and rattlesnakes and snails and slugs, you see. But God is working those things together. Why some people actually see a snail and they say, delicious, edible, exquisite. And they eat them, and they sell them, and they enjoy them. Now, sin has entered my life. Sin has affected your life. And so there are things that ought not to be, that were never meant to be. But guess what the Lord can do? He can turn around those things, and he can do marvelous things with them, through them, the lessons learned from them. Even those snails in your life, God can make something good. Listen, folks, that's the promise of God to you today. All things are working together for good. Will you be established in that, or will you this week be freaked out? Will you, like Paul, say, I'm going to plant my feet on the promise of the Lord because of the presence that he's given to me, the promise he's presented for me, or will you, like Ahaz, find yourself not established because Ahaz didn't believe? Now, you say, John, you talk about the promises, but what if I'm misunderstanding the promises? What if I'm misreading the Bible? What if these verses are taken out of context? So often I come across a verse and I believe it's for me, but what if it's not? Watch this next verse, Isaiah 7. Moreover, the Lord spake, verse 10, unto Ahaz, saying, Ahaz, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, either in the depths or in the heights. Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. This he said not out of faith or because of belief. He said it scornfully, mockingly, because Ahaz was not in a good place spiritually. With a sneer on his lips and a sarcasm in his voice, I'm not going to ask the Lord. I'm not going to tempt the Lord. Then watch what Isaiah says. He said, hear ye now, verse 13, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men Now will you weary my God also? Therefore, verse 14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. This is great, folks. Ahaz, with your mockery, in your instability, because of your lack of belief in the Lord personally, I want you to know that he's going to give you a sign. For you Bible students, the word you there is not in the singular, but it's in the plural, which means it's not just for Ahaz. It's for everybody. The Lord is going to give you, everyone, down the time tunnel of history, in the future that was to follow these days that is taking place in Isaiah chapter 7, you see. Here, the Lord is declaring, Ahaz, a sign is going to be given to you. Not just you, but to all people. A virgin shall conceive. That virgin is Mary. And a son shall be called, whose name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Ahaz, you may not believe the promise I'm speaking, but know this, and all of you Ahazes, and all of the Ahazes in us, know this, God is with us. That's the sign. That's the ultimate source of stability. You see, I might question if I'm understanding the scriptures properly. I might wonder, well, is what I'm reading really applicable to me, or am I understanding it in its context theologically? And you might find yourself doubting, can I believe the promises? Know this, even if you're not sure of the promises, if they apply to you, the presence of the Lord Emmanuel is with you. When I was driving to LA, going down on a vacation to the mission in Mexico, my family and me were driving in the car. Little Mary Elizabeth, riding there in the front seat for a while between Tammy and myself, had a map in her hand, a map of California. She was fascinated by it. She was trying to figure out, you know, where we were on the map, and she was trying to figure out where we're going and all of these questions. She had the map in her hand. She can barely read, but she had this map in her hand. Guess what? If she was all confused about where we were in relationship to that map, or if we're going the right way or the wrong way according to her reading of the map, guess what? It doesn't matter a bit. Because she's not driving. I'm driving. And even though the map might be upside down, or she might be confused where we are or can't figure it out, the fact is I'm in the driver's seat. Mary, you're welcome to read along, but know this, I'm driving. And so, Mary, we're going to get there. Because I'm driving. Your father is in the driver's seat. Don't you see, precious people? That's why Paul was established. And that's where Ahaz missed it. Not just the promise that I'm giving to you, Paul. Nobody's going to hurt you. But I am with you, Paul. Ahaz, you might not believe the promise concerning the battle that's coming down your way. It's not going to happen. But Ahaz, a sign is given to you and to all men. Emmanuel, God is with us. Do you know what that means, gang? That means that even if I'm not reading the map right, if I've got it upside down or don't understand all that it's saying, the fact is, God is with me, Emmanuel, the one who was conceived in the virgin, the one who left his home in heaven, came down and was birthed of a woman, who lived as a man, who died in my place because of his love for me, because he cares about me and is committed to me. Emmanuel, God is with me, therefore I will not fear. Even if I don't understand the promise properly, I have the presence of the Lord with me. And what did he say, gang? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And he's in the driver's seat. The only thing that could go wrong is if Mary suddenly, mischievously, stupidly, lurched out of the seat where she was sitting and grabbed the wheel and said, "Let me steer, Dad, let me steer." And we fought over the wheel for a while. Well, now her joy is in great jeopardy. There could be an unnecessary crash on the freeway, or a spanking at the very least upon her bottom. That's what happens. Well, I gotta figure this out. I gotta make it happen. And we start grabbing the wheel, and the car begins to weave a bit, you see. We wonder why we're crashing unnecessarily, or why we are chastened, spanked so frequently. Gang, relax. Be established. Be like Paul. The promises are given to you. Learn them. Study the Bible with us. Read it every day in devotions. Come out and learn the Word. And even if you're not understanding the promise properly, know this, the presence of the Lord is with you. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Ahaz, this is the sign the Lord will give to you and to all men. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ being spoken of prophetically. Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Turn with me quickly to Hebrews. We're going to go for a quick one-verse responsive reading. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Let your conversation, verse 5, be without covetousness. Be content with the things that you have. Don't be coveting, striving. Just be content. Why? Hebrews 13, verse 5, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Verse 6, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me." Is that great? Be content. Put it in cruise control. Why? Because he hath said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Emmanuel, God with us. So that, verse 6, "we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me." No problema. Like Paul the Apostle, I'm not going to fear what man can do to me or what situation might happen around me, because the Lord is with me. He's my helper, you see. I want us to do that, not just read about it. I'm going to read that last phrase of verse 5, and I want you, when I get to that phrase in verse 6, "so that we may boldly say," I want you to join in, reading loudly, saying boldly, believing as you read this word, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." I'll read verse 5 and the first phrase of verse 6. When we get to that, "the Lord is my helper," you join in and say boldly, "He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." I want us to do that again. 10 times louder. "He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." That's the truth. Amen? Your choice today to be like Paul and say, "I've heard the promise, and more importantly, I have his presence." Or to be like Ahaz, it's still going to happen, the promises of God, but you're going to be unsteady and confused and unnecessarily hurting. May the Lord grace you that you might boldly say all week long, all life long, "The Lord is with me, therefore I will not fear what man, the world, can do to me." The Lord is with me, truly. Shall we stand together? The Lord is with me, Therefore, I will not fear what man can do to me. Let that resound in your hearts and resonate in your spirits. Let that really be resolved in your mind. Be established in that marriage. Rejoice in that occupation. Don't back down from that ministry. Don't complain about your situation. Don't be afraid. Don't freak out. Don't murmur. Don't complain. But rather boldly say, the Lord is with me. Therefore, I will not fear what man can do to me. I'm going to, like Paul, establish myself for a year and a half, or a decade, or a century, because I have the promise of the Lord. More importantly, the presence of Him personally. He's with me. Side one, the Lord is with me. I will not fear what man can do to me. Here we go, side one. The Lord is with me. I will not fear what man can do to me. Again, the Lord is with me. One more time. May that be so, Father. May this be a week where we are established like Paul. May we not waver and miss out the blessing of being at peace as Ahaz did. But may we, Lord, claim your promise, more importantly, enjoy your presence. May this be a week of establishment in this precious congregation. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.